The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back, another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Austin promotion returns to the Lone Star State for the main event of Beneil Dariush taking on Armin Tsarukyan. Fantastic fight. There's a lot of great fights on the main card. I am very excited for this. 4 p.m. start, too. We're getting a crowd. We're getting a great main card, a good card overall, and it starts at 4 p.m. Can you ask for anything better, Jed?
I mean, let's just get into this right at the top. I got two things I want to talk to you about this week. We'll get into one of those coming up. Here's the problem with the 4 p.m., Connor, because one big problem with 4 p.m.
This week, of course there is.
And it's this week.
So,
I got to be honest, as much as I would love to watch Veronica Hardy take on Jamie Lynn Horth, or, you know, Ihor Potieria take on Rodolfo Bellotto, I mean, we all want those fights. We've been waiting for those fights.
For years.
You and I got some business right around 4 o'clock on Saturday.
So here's the thing. I'm a 2TV guy. Always been a 2TV guy. Also, parlay that with for serious games, for big games. If I'm not going to be in attendance, my ass needs to be on my couch or a very close friend's couch with, you know, as much streamlining as possible. I cannot, for a game of this magnitude, I cannot be out at a bar, can't be dealing with the bullshit, like no sound. Oh, can we get that TV changed to CBS? Like, you guys mind changing that for us? Like, I'll appreciate it. The $10 drinks, everything. I need to be in my own environment. I need to be in control. So the way I'm going to be doing it on Saturday, big screen, obviously full blast, sound bar, SEC championship game for sure. Small side TV, completely muted. We'll be glancing over every once in a while to keep tabs on the UFC Austin card. The good news is, we were just saying before we got on, main card's beautiful. Top four fights are unbelievable. Cannot wait for them. Prelims, you know, prelims aren't that great. So, like, by the time the main card is starting, like, we'll be in the later stages of the Georgia game. And by the time we're getting to the Final Four, Georgia game will be over and hopefully we will be the SEC champions.
I mean, God willing, I would just be terrific. And, you know, not even, I could selfishly say that I want it for us, Connor, and I do. We want it. We want Georgia to, you know, back to back. It's just what we want. But I'm really more thinking about the selection committee, because if, you know, heaven forbid, knock on wood, Bama beats us, the selection committee is going to have a really tough time on Sunday.
I think we're out.
I think we're out. I think we're out. But But what do you do with Bama and Texas? They're going to have too many hard choices to make. I want to save them all of that. With the Dogs just getting another W, 50 in a row or whatever obscene number we're at. I honestly can't believe the stats that we've started to pile up. So let's do that, Connor. Why don't we do that, you know? Why don't we get that dub, then cash some tickets. Be great.
You mentioned it. It's just that easy. Win and you're in. I mean, let's just do that. Because if we don't win, if you're unfamiliar with the scenario, if you're strictly an MMA fan, we won't spend too much time on this. Just a brief minute here at the beginning of the show. The number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs will be taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide, who we will find out their ranking this evening, probably around 7. But
I think I saw them at 8.
With a win, they will be in the college football playoff. That is undoubtedly a sure thing for them if they can knock off the top team.
I am not 100%.
Okay, the only way that they get left out, in my opinion, is if you have 13-0, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, and then they do the right thing, which in my opinion is the right thing, put 12-1 Texas over them. I mean, why do you play the games if they're going to go to Tuscaloosa and they're going to beat Alabama in Alabama? And then when they're both 12-1 conference champions, you're going to put in Texas over them? That's nonsensical. On the flip side of that, are they really going to leave out the SEC? That
I seems think they like will. It, I think they, like it I makes think they sense. Have to. Because if they don't, it is such a bad look for them.
Like, I agree.
To be like, hey, actually, this doesn't matter. This is really just a cash grab. And sorry that you won your game too early in the season. Should have taken that loss, you know, back in September instead of doing it. It's can't do it. So,
right. Because they make this argument of like when you lose, it's just like, well, why do you play the game then? Because you have to go 12-1 to be in the argument. So, like, I mean, if they had lost that Bama game, they would be out for sure. It's just like, I don't know. Sometimes it can get nonsensical, but man. Yeah, leaving out the SEC. But then they make the argument best four teams. FSU lost their quarterback. Are they really one of the best four teams now?
I'm here for that argument, but it does. You just can't do it. If you leave out undefeated FSU,
I agree.
The state of Florida may start an insurgency.
I mean, I thought they've been fraudulent all year. Then they lose Jordan Travis. Now I really think they're fraudulent. I bet Florida plus 200. Thought I was going to get there. Blew 12-0
for a minute.
Looks spicy. Spicy. I mean, maybe they just lose to Louisville. But that
is very much in play.
Very much. Especially Louisville coming off a loss. Like, I mean, we just saw Auburn was come off a horrific loss to New Mexico State and then literally choke it in the last 40 seconds to Alabama. So Louisville is very live.
They've been trying to choke it. I just want to take care of business. And what I want, Connor, is I want you and I to have a show, you know, come January. We're talking about whatever the fight night card is, and we're talking about the Natty, us versus Michigan. I think we're the two best teams in the country, and I want to settle up. We were supposed to settle up last year. Michigan did not handle business, and so instead we got, you know, just a squash match Natty. I want Michigan, but first we got to beat Bama, and then we got to beat this fight night card.
Yeah, Saturday, 4 o'clock. I mean, things get serious on Saturday at 4 o'clock. You know, all year we've been massive favorites. I've never really been concerned. Auburn game, live bet them when they were plus money. South Carolina game at halftime, live bet them minus 140. Always had faith. Bama's kind of been the kryptonite. You're always worried when you see those damn old-fashioned ass, boring ass, Crimson Tide uniforms lining up across.
Because they are touched by God. Like, how they didn't lose is just
insane. It's absolutely insane.
That's the most, like, walking in the light moment I've seen. I was watching with buddies, and we couldn't believe that game. So, like, how is Auburn doing this? Like, how are they doing
Couldn't believe it. The good news for us is, all we got to worry about is that. Don't got to worry about X beating X and Y beating X and X beating Y. Just got to focus on the team right in front of us. Just got to handle business on Saturday. Yeah, it's going to get real serious. It's going to get real nervy. It's, because it's not like 2021 where we lost, we were still in. This is looking like the season. And if we don't win, we're in a fucking New Year's Six. Bless my heart if that happens. Look, because like you said, the amount of wins that we have, the records that we are setting is just absolutely mind-boggling. 30 straight games or whatever it is. We're going for three in a row. You just got to keep it perspective. It can be gone like that. It can be gone like that. Look at Clemson. Talk to a Clemson fan after the 2018 season and be like, hey, man, how are you feeling?
We're going to be good forever.
We're going to be good forever. Now they're like 7-5, and they're talking about Dabo potentially leaving. Like, can go quick. Can go quick. But this is not a college football podcast.
This week it can be. Even though this, like we said, this is a hell of a fight night.
I could talk about the scenarios that could come into play on Saturday. For hours, because it is.
Instead, you want to talk about Wellington Turman?
Truly fascinating. But instead, I do want to talk about Wellington Turman taking on the returning Jared Gooden in his second stint in the UFC. So we will do just that. PFL, before we jump to that, PFL, rumors circling that it was your best week of the year.
It was. This is so dumb. Like, gambling is so stupid. We went into that show last week and we were just like, hey man, we're gonna keep it tight. And you know, I think it was like a 35-minute episode. Yeah, just gonna shoot the breeze, have some fun, just fire from the hip. Did no research, wiki capped the whole thing. At one point you correctly informed me that I misread Chris Wade versus which fight Chris Wade had won against Bubba Jenkins. It's like, well, the bet's already in. That bet ends up pushing because the fight gets scrapped. So that bet's just a no bet. And then I up over 10 units. That's just hit almost everything. It was just the stupidest, incredible, silliest, the least amount of work I've put into a card this entire year. Easily my best showing.
That's the way it goes.
This is a very dumb game. And because it's dumb, Connor, I decided I'm going to roll this heater. I've done no prep here. Done wow. Zero. I'm firing from the hip back-to-back weeks because,
I can't wait to hear what you got.
Why not? This is all vibes. Everything is like, I don't know. I think that dude's going to win, and that's going to be my breakdown. So
I can't wait to hear what you've got this week. Congratulations on a massive week. I had a winning week. Wasn't a massive week. I'm not going to lie. I was one or two very close losses away from having a massive week. Pacheco gets the knockout. I mean, we're so really close. Cooking. And Sky Nicholson fight went into the ninth round, had it gone all 10. I'm probably right there with you around
also,
10 units.
Also a weak stoppage too. You
know? Weak stoppage, thrown in the towel. I mean, come on. So very close, but I mean, that's just the variance in this game. Hopefully I'll have some more lucky, advantageous breaks, moving forward. I mean, just three more betting weeks left in the year. It's looking like I'm going to finish in the green again this year. Hopefully things don't go too bad. I'm knocking on wood, but I'm hoping I can finish with three straight winning weeks to close us out of 2023. And then we're just going to start it all again in 2024. What a year it has been. And let's dive right in. UFC Austin. Talk about this main event, man. Beneil Dariush, who before he lost to Charles Oliveira was riding an 8-fight win streak, was one win away from fighting for the lightweight title against Islam Makhachev. Unfortunately, gets finished in the very first round. He's now taking on Armin Tsarukyan, prospect who's been around the game for a minute and feels like there's just always been the belief that, like, one day we're going to get that rematch between him and Islam, but this time it'll be for a title. Supremely talented. Comes in as a minus 278 against Beneil Dariush. Dariush coming back at plus 225. Fantastic fight. Am I wrong for thinking the line is a little wide here for Benny D? Like, we just saw at 280 when he fought Gamrot. Very similar skill-wise. I mean, Tsarukyan and Gamrot went to an absolute war. Very similar skill-wise. Prospect, incredible record. Likes to use the grappling. But, you know, there he is. Plus 220 dog there. Got it done.
Yeah, my vibes are saying I'm taking Beneil Dariush at plus 235 because I think this does feel wide. Look, I am super high on Armin Tsarukyan. I have been for a hot minute. I won't say I'm like the highest. Mike Heck has been preaching the gospel of Armin for years and years. Like, is absolutely convinced he's going to be a champion. I am very convinced Armin Tsarukyan is going to be a top 10 guy in this division for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, he's going to fight for a title. And I mean, heck, he's got a great chance to win one because he is so good, but it's also lightweight. Like, I'm not going to predict anyone to be a lightweight champion other than Islam Makhachev. I was pretty early on being like, yeah, that dude's going to hold the belt. It's just lightweight's just full of killers. So, but by that same token, you know who's a damn killer? Beneil Dariush. I mean, metal tested. Like, this dude has been through the fire. And you brought up the fight that, like, I guess is probably giving me the vibes, and it is the Matush Gamrot. Because Gamrot and Sarukian are pretty similar fighters. Like, they're different. I'd say Sarukian, I know he lost to Gamrot. I think Sarukian is a little bit higher ceiling than Gamrot does because he's still so young. And he's definitely a little bit better on the feet than Gamrot is. But he lost that fight because Gamrot could not get takedowns and was just got chewed up on the feet by Beneil Dariush. I think Sarukian can fare a little bit better on the feet than Gamrot did, but I think the same things are at play here. If you can't get takedowns, Benny D's going to do great. And I think at this price, love to take a dog shot on Benny D.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I am really considering it. Like, it just, like, it feels like the same thing as that Gamrot fight. You're giving him to me at +220. I mean, this guy, like, I know he obviously got knocked out in the first round against Charles Oliveira. This guy was a favorite against Charles Oliveira.
I bet him against Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, like, also, Armin, like, I know he beat Joaquin Silva, and, like, if you look at the stats, it looked like a fairly one-way traffic. He was like a -1,000, and that was sweat city for the kid.
He got wobbled
pretty bad at one point. Obviously, he ended up getting the win, and he got the win by finish. But, yeah, I mean, I just feel like this is going to be more competitive than almost -300. And, like, if I'm saying that, then it feels like I got to just take the shot. Like, do I think Armin is going to win? Yeah, probably. Probably going to win. But, like, maybe, like, -170? Like, that feels more like I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah. But, yeah, I guess a ton of money has come in on Armin. I know he opened at shorter odds than this. Shorter odds than this. So, yeah, it feels like we're on the same page here. Great fight. Great fight.
I mean,
would not mind that going all 25. Would not mind it one bit.
I mean, it'd be terrific. It goes all 25. Interesting start. Last week we had a bit of dissension. So this week we've gotten on the same page. Probably means we're going to fail. But that's all right. You know, a lot of fights left.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's keep it rolling to the co-main event of the evening. Jalen Turner coming in on short notice to take on Bobby King Green. And right now you can have Jalen Turner for -218, Bobby Green coming back at +180. I'm a big fan of Jalen Turner. Kind of crazy that he's 13-7. Just feels like his record should be much better than that. Always puts on entertaining fights. Same thing with Bobby Green. I think this is going to be madness. Wouldn't be surprised if someone got finished here. I mean, Jalen Turner, when he wins, it's typically by finish. Probably going to be staying away here, though. Paying over minus 200, Jalen Turner on short notice. He's got to make that cut all the way down to 155. If he's successful, then, you know, I think he's probably going to get this one done. If he struggles with the weight cut, if this fight gets extended, it could get kind of dicey. So I think I'm just going to stay away. Just going to enjoy this one.
I'm a huge Jalen Turner guy. I've been real high on him because the boy's got traits. Like, I love a man with a superpower. Like, those are the guys I'm trying to back in this game. And Jalen Turner is enormous. He's just the most enormous giant lightweight that's maybe ever been. And he's been damn good. And he keeps developing. He's had a tough little run, you know. Like, showed something against Gamrot, though he clearly lost that fight, but he kept battling through. And then Dan Hooker, I put that down to just being an unbelievable performance from Dan Hooker.
I mean, like world class. Like, to eat the shots that he ate, I think he broke his arm in that fight, and to like just keep powering through, like the heart that Dan Hooker showed, few guys are going to be able to replicate that.
Yeah, just absolutely unbelievable stuff. And I'll be honest, I was excited to come onto this event and bet against Dan Hooker against Bobby Green. I was ready to place that bet because I said after that fight, and I think that I believe that it's true until proven wrong, which always can be. I think that's going to be the final fight of Dan Hooker, the guy. Like, you see guys just leave so much themselves in the cage after a win, and Dan Hooker just took so much damage to gut through that like, I think
the head kick that he ate, like, puts out 99% of the Earth's population. Yeah,
he willed himself through the fire, and I think that takes something out of you seen before. I think that was going to happen. I was ready to bet on Bobby Green. Obviously, this happens. I think Jalen Turner is going to do great in this fight because he's enormous. I think Bobby Green is not a guy who's going to repeatedly wrestle him. I think this fight will be real fun. Bobby Green will scrap, but he's scrapping with a much bigger man. And we've seen Bobby Green get hurt. I'm taking Jalen Turner inside the distance, plus 115.
Plus 115. Wow, it's plus money.
Mm-hmm.
That too is a bit tempting. Is a bit tempting.
If it were minus, I probably would also be staying away, or I'd be trying to spike. Like, is it TKO? Is it submission? Like, it's more likely if he gets a finish, it's going to be a KO because Bobby Green hadn't been submitted in like 8 years or something really long. But we've seen him do the club and sub thing. And she's got those super long arms. So I'm playing it a little safer and just going for turning inside the distance.
We are aware that Jalen Turner has never won via decision.
That played a factor in my choice.
Bobby Green has been finished 6 times. Whew. That's tempting. That is tempting. I didn't expect that to be plus money. I'm not going to lie. I didn't do the diving deep there. I might have to add a poke on that.
I love talking you into stuff with vibes.
I mean, when the guy wins, it's exclusively by finish. He's an absolute killer. Bobby Green is tough, but like, I would rate Dan Hooker's ability to battle through the fire higher than Bobby Green's.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Green's a little older. Bobby Green's been fighting a lot, you know?
I don't mind that.
This is his fourth fight of the year. Four fights, that's a lot of fights.
I don't mind that one bit. Let's keep it rolling. Rob Font taking on the bantamweight debuting Davison Figueiredo. Another just fantastic fight here. Right now, Rob Font's coming in as the slight favorite. You can have him for minus 135. Figgy coming back at plus 114. Quite a few question marks coming into this one, like, surrounding how Figgy's going to look here at 135. Obviously, he is getting older at these lower weight classes. That doesn't typically mean good things for the aging vets at the smaller weight classes. He's going to be at a size disadvantage, which he typically did not find himself in fighting at 125. On the flip side, I mean, Figgy can crack, and like we've seen Rob Font hurt several times.
And also, Font is older than Figgy.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point by you, man. I can't argue that.
I only know this because Rob Font doesn't seem like he's old. And then every time I like look at it, it's like he's actually like in his like 36 or 37. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Aging.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, I said all that just to be like, this fight's very close and I don't know who's going to win. And I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
I love this. You're going to be picking up some more undercard action, which is great because I'm playing a lot of the stuff here and I'm playing Rob Font. I considered Rob Font by decision because historically that has been where most of his bread has been buttered.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Too many questions. Figgy's going to be real small in there against Rob Font. Rob's got that great jab. He's going to have the length. Figgy is explosive. And that's, we've seen Rob kind of struggle with that in his career. I mean, basically his losses to Cheeto and Aldo were, he had more volume, but they just hit real hard and kind of landed on him and hurt him. That certainly is a concern, but Figgy's coming up a weight class against a guy who's quite large, and very good. And I'm staying on Rob Font here. So
Font's my guy. Yeah. Rob Font is my guy. Had him on the watch party one time. Great guy. Cashed the underdog ticket against Adrian Yanez earlier this year. Rob Font is my guy. I will be supporting old Robbie on Saturday, that's for sure. Gonna be very interesting to see Figgy at 135.
Yeah, we gotta get Figgy versus Cody Garbrandt. I mean, that's the fight we gotta have happen.
Woo.
One day. For now though, let's enjoy this one because it should be fun, if nothing else.
Let's keep going to another fun fight, Sean Brady.
So many of them.
I mean, this is a great one. Sean Brady is taking on Kelvin Gastelum in the return. After 7 years away from welterweight division, Kelvin Gastelum back at 170. And right now he is the underdog to the once beaten Sean Brady. Right now, Brady minus 120. Gastelum coming back at plus 100. You look at Gastelum's IG page?
I never do this dive. It's a weakness in my game. I certainly didn't prep here.
He's looking nice. He's looking fit. 32 years young for our man training at a Fight Ready.
He's still so young.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good. He looks good.
Let's pull it up. Let's pull up the gram.
Blockhead for old KG. Like, Sean Brady's not a knockout artist. Like, I feel like if he avoids the takedowns, if he can stuff the takedowns, he has a very large chance of winning this fight.
But
that's the question. Is he going to stuff the takedowns?
What do you think here? Because I have thoughts.
I'm going to lean... Yes. I'm gonna lean that he's going to be able to stuff the takedowns. And I know that everyone's like, oh, everybody's off the Sean Brady train because of the Bilal fight. I was actually on the Sean Brady train during the Michael Chiesa fight as well. And that third round got dicey. I mean, it looked like he was just about to get finished in that third round. And if Kelvin Gastelum can stuff the takedowns here and use just pressure and volume, I really think he can give Sean Brady some trouble. Now, there is that world where Sean Brady just like leveled up, like the loss caused him to level up, and he just comes out here looking like a new beast. But dog odds, don't mind Kelvin.
I understand everything you're saying. I'm not gonna follow you into this one. I think you've got the right breakdown on this, obviously, if Kelvin can stuff him. And Kelvin, you know, was a wrestler, pretty decent. In the way that people are getting off the Sean Brady train, and that's a real thing that's happening, I'm hanging on to it just a little bit longer. I'm not dying on it, but I'm hanging on just a little bit longer. But mostly, I've just never been on the Kelvin train. Just never been on the Kelvin train. He is one of those dudes like him and Darren Till and a couple other guys who just had the ability to lose and get bigger and bigger fights despite losing. I mean, look at his resume. I pulled it up to make sure. Like, the Chris Curtis fight had little bit of controversy in there. That's his most recent one. It's the win. Everything else, though, like, he beat Ian Heinisch and then he lost five fights. Like, that's the run he's had. And granted, it's a middleweight and a lot of really good names in there. One of those is the Israel Adesanya fight, one of the best fights of all time, where he was super competitive. But, like, he just hasn't been beating people enough for me to be, like, super sold. And now he's making this weight cut back, a weight class I think he should have been in the whole time. But he was, like, so adamant, I can't do it, can't compete there, like, I just can't make it. And now suddenly he is. That gives me some pause. Like, why? Where are you at mentally that this is the change you're making when you denied for years that it was viable? I got too many questions about a guy I don't even particularly support as a fighter. He's just one of those dudes. So give me Sean Brady. I'll take, because it's almost a pick 'em. Got him at minus 120. Take Sean Brady. Gets two. I need two takedowns, Connor. It's all I need. Two takedowns. Cash this bet.
I like that breakdown. It kind of feels like the inverse of what a lot of people are saying this week. I like that. So yeah, butting heads on this one. One of us will be a winner. Should be another fantastic fight, man. I mean, once this is the perfect plan on Saturday that we're watching either Clay Guida or Joaquin Silva get their hand raised, just as George is hoisting the SEC championship trophy, and it's just like, all right. Now we're good to lock into these last four fights. Now we're good to lock in.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great because I also, I'm working Saturday evening because there are a couple of other events. Originally, I was going to be working on this fight card. I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to need you to check that back. I got to come on a little later because the Georgia game, like, cool. So I'll be punching in, ready to go to work with that, you know, that another title in the trophy case, and then ready to watch the big stuff. So it's going to be fun.
Hopefully. Let's keep it rolling.
Knock on wood.
Clay Guida back in the octagon. 62nd professional fight for our man, taking on Joaquin Silva. Just as 16th. Just a little bit of an experience deficiency here for old Joaquin. But right now, he is currently the minus 325 favorite. Clay Guida coming back at plus 260. This breakdown's easy for me. Clay Guida, 23 career losses, 11 of which come by way of submission. And you're going to tell me he's fighting a black belt named Neto BJJ?
That,
there it is.
I can confirm that is, in fact, what Joaquin Silva's name is.
That's all I needed to hear. Silva by sub plus 300. Maybe a little club and sub.
Does it concern you that Joaquin
Silva... have a submission in the UFC? No.
Correct.
It doesn't. Okay. You got to zig when others zag, baby.
Hey, that's what's the Warren Buffett quote? You have to be brave when others are afraid, and afraid Bingo. When others are brave. Okay. I love it. I love this energy.
Listen, man, I mean, he's got, I understand that he's got hands. I think his last five fights have ended by KO. Whether he wins or loses them, he is down for a scrap. He's got knees too. Had a very impressive flying knee knockout in the UFC as well. I'm thinking club and sub. Okay. I'm thinking he hurts old Clay.
What's the price?
I mean, also, he did have plus 300 on that. He did have a nice gilly on Neil Magny in a grappling tournament. Clay Guida likes to get gillied. He's lost by guillotine choke about five times in his career. So yeah, that's open.
I love it.
We're breaking the curse.
I was about to say, I just, for the sake of our listeners, I want to point out that by virtue of you betting sub prop, it's already not, just burned the
there's
ticket.
There's no way it's hitting.
The ticket's burn already the ticket. Gone.
If you had the ticket before listening to this, burn it because it's
get
dead.
Rid of it.
It is dead.
I am going to put Joaquin Silva in a parlay just because Clay Guida is 1,000. Joaquin Silva's seems very,
very
good at fist fighting.
He's athletic, man. He's quick.
Athletic. I mean, like, you
feel like there's going to be a strong differential there.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Like, he was real competitive against Aman Sarukian, who I think is, you know, one of the eight best fighters in the world in his weight class. So, yeah, give me Joaquin Silva in this setup as a parlay piece.
I also am on fight does not go to a decision. I really do think they're going to push a heavy pace. And Silva, like I said, five straight fights, whether he's winning or losing, have ended inside the distance. So that's that one. 41-year-old fighting. Gotta love it. Legend. Clay Guida. Let's finish up the main card. Puna Soriano taking on Dustin Stolzfus. This is where the card kind of starts, you know, taking that turn.
It does.
Right now, Puna minus 270. Stolzfus coming back at plus 220. Tough. I was going to say it's tough to trust Dustin Stolzfus. I mean, 1-4 in the UFC, singular win over Dwight Grant, even the Contender Series, the Joe Pyfer win. Like, I understand that he did slam him and break his arm, but like, not the most conventional win. Mm-hmm.
Puna's fought decent competition though. Give him that.
Sure. Puna's not like, I mean, he's not the most trustworthy guy, but I do think he has some advantages here, especially if it stays standing. And with Puna's wrestling base, I tend to agree, or he's going to be able to have the success. I feel like Stolzfus, if he tries to wrestle, he's not going to be able to make it work. And I think Puna will make him pay on the feet. He really does have serious knockout power. We've seen Stolzfus knocked out in the UFC. I think Puna gets this one done.
I agree with the Puna getting this one done. I mean, mainly, and again, I'm wiki capping this whole thing, guys, so don't bet your lives on this. But Dustin Stolzfus lost to Abus, and I'm just not sure that that's a good loss. You know, I mean, beating Abus gets you a title fight, as we all know, makes you one of the very best in the world. Losing to him, probably, at least in my mind, doesn't do that well. So you mentioned Puna's got the we know he's got hits real hard. Taking a shot on Puna by KO at plus 120.
Love it. Let's keep it rolling to the prelims.
I don't have nearly as much action here.
I really don't have that much action at all this week. Not my favorite card from a betting standpoint. Misha Tate taking on Julia Avila. And right now, Julia, 28 months away, had a baby, has had surgery, but she is the minus 155 favorite. Misha Tate coming back at plus 130. So you tell me, 28 months away, baby, has had surgery. Tate, 17 months away, coming off a not her best performance, I'd say, against old Lauren Murphy. 1-4 in her last five, one win coming over Marion Renault.
And didn't even look that good against a retiring Marion Renault.
I say all that because I'm passing. I will not be.
I think I really wanted to talk myself into a bet here just because, you know, Misha Tate, former champion, like to have some action on a fighter of that profile. But particularly if I'm just trying to shoot from the hip, like I don't need to look at tape. I'm just like, I remember all of Misha Tate's fights. How did this go? I can't get there on any price for either side. I think Avila's probably going to win because Tate has looked so, so bad since returning. But Avila's been off for a lifetime and certainly wasn't as good a fighter as Tate was at their peaks. Again, I think Avila's going to win, but probably shouldn't be like this big a favorite just given the circumstances. So this is a full stay away. This is a poison fight. Don't touch
poison. Poison. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big advocate of betting on this one. So I did bet on it by using the over 1.5 as a parlay piece.
Nice.
Know? Just a little action. 12 of Tate's last 13 and Avila 3 of her 4 in the UFC over the 1.5.
Tate's real tough, like real Tate, durable.
I was going to say.
Avila's not going to finish Tate early if it happens.
Knock on one. Yeah, I was going to say Tate, the only time she went under 1.5 was against Amanda Nunes. Like we can give her a small break there.
Yeah, also because she took a hellacious beating in that fight too and was still trying. Man. She's still trying.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Cody Brundage taking on Zach Reese. And right now, the 6-0 debutante is a minus 218 favorite. Cody Brundage coming back at plus 180. I'm using the under 2.5 as a parlay piece. Reese. 6-0, 6-up, 6-down, all first round finishes. Brundage, 8 of his last 10 under the 2.5. Strongly think someone's going to get got here. When it comes to a side, like, I don't know. I don't know anything about Zach Reese. He's 6-0 and has not seen a second round. And Brundage, like, he got bailed out by illegal elbows last time. Like, he should be on a 4-fight losing streak and he should be 8-6. So just not really trying to trust either of these guys.
I think this is a terrific bet from you. If I was doing over under bets or whatever, like I would absolutely have one of those. That would be a piece, because Reese, I know Reese because he was on Contender Series, and I mentioned this either in the last show or the show before last, I can't remember. Did a big write up post Contender Series, breaking down like all the prospects who got signed and sort of slotting them into categories. And I had to create a special category for Zach Reese and two other gentlemen off the show called Defense is Optional. Because if you watch them fight, they all offense, absolutely zero interest in protecting themselves at all times as per the referee instructions. So I think he's probably going to be Cody Brundage, who isn't very good, but this is a man who puts his chin out there. And
I love it.
Someone's getting got. I think Reese will do the getting, but I would not trust him with favorite money. So I love that underbet for you.
I love it. I hope it works out for me. Let's keep it rolling. Joe Selecki taking on Jakar Klose right now. Jakar, your favorite, -122. Selecki, +102. Kind of like the Rob Font Figgy fight. Feels like this one's going to be very close. I mean, the odds are indicating that it's essentially a coin flip, just like the Rob Font fight. I don't know who is going to win here. That's my breakdown.
I mean, what an absolutely remarkable
breakdown. I mean, that's what the people come here for.
The angles.
That's what the people come here for. But yeah, just you're not sure on this one.
I would lean Joe Selecki, but like you, I'm unsure. I've been burnt by Jakar Klose betting against him some previous times in his career. Yeah.
I've been burnt by Joe Selecki betting on him. So this is kind of a double down. We shouldn't bet at all.
That's a lot of not good action there. Yeah. we're getting it both ways and in the teeth. So yeah, Jakar Klose just kind of overachieves in spots where I don't think. Again, I would, like if I'm just picking, I'd take Joe Selecki, but I'm not going to put money down on that.
Same. Sounds good to me. Let's keep it moving.
If Joe Selecki got to like +140 or something, I might be tempted, but. He's not that the number is not going to move that far. So
let's keep it rolling to there's next two fights. I'm very much looking forward to Steve Garcia taking on Melquizel Costa. Right now, Costa is the favorite, -238. Garcia coming back +195. What a brawler Steve Garcia has turned into. I mean, he's always kind of had that KO in him, but like, In these last few iterations of him, it is just stand and bang. I love it, man. I mean, he will go out on his shears. 7 of his last 8 fights ended by KO, win or lose. I think he's just going to come in with the same game plan here, and I think Costa is going to oblige. And we're just going to see two dudes go at it, and someone's going to get dropped.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I'm not betting this one because I could not remember. I know that I have watched Costa fight, but I cannot remember the fights. And I wasn't going to watch tape.
Yeah.
So
I'm not gonna bet. He's got 2 UFC fights this year.
Yeah.
This year.
I know because I know, like, I looked at his topology. I was like, oh, yeah, I've definitely watched this dude fight. I cannot tell you what happened in those fights. So,
yeah. Steve Garcia, I can remember. Steve Garcia's got great fights, man. I'm nothing if I'm not a Steve Garcia fan.
Steve Garcia's a good little action fighter.
Win or lose.
Fighter.
Win or lose. He's there to have some fun, man. Let's keep it rolling. To another guy that, win or lose, we're probably going to have some fun. Ihor Poteria taking on
the duelist.
Adolfo Bellotto. Right now, the biggest favorite on the card, Adolfo Bellotto, sits at -410. Ihor coming back at +320. Kind of feels like this is just going to be an Ihor fight. It's two big boys, two behemoths at 205 coming in here. Probably going to get kind of hectic. Probably going to get kind of crazy. And someone's going to get finished probably pretty quickly as well. 6 straight fights for Ihor. Have not seen the third round. 19 of his 24 in his career have ended in round 1 or 2. And then Bellotto on the flip side, 11 of 12. Sorry, 12 of 13 have ended in round 1 or 2. I mean, feels like someone's gonna get finished here.
I mean, yeah, someone's going to get finished and that person is going to be Ihor Potiera.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, probably.
Like one, this is the other leg of my two-leg parlay with Joaquim Silva. A little, you know, just a little two-legger, pays out 150, a little Brazilian parlay. Mostly, I would have done this on principle because I'll never forgive the duelist for beating Shogun, because, like, what an insane way to end Shogun's career with that. One of the dumbest things in recent memory. And, you know, Rodolfo, Brazilian. He has to punish this man for what he did to one of the all-time legends. I think he's going to step up. He's going to answer the call. He's going to send Ihor to the land of winds and ghosts and avenge the great Shogun.
Okay, I like this. This is the Brazilian revenge fight right here.
It's right here. I would exclusively match Ihor up against Brazilians if I were the UFC. Just let everybody just work his ass for what he did to Shogun, how he sent Shogun out of the game.
Or what if Ihor is the 205 Brazilian Slayer?
Well,
him and Dalby cut from the same cloth.
Then we got a whole separate section of things. Then you got to book him and Dalby main and co-main event in a Curitiba card, something like that. You know, get down there and just build the energy.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's probably going to be Rodolfo getting the finish, but I feel strongly that's that under 2.5 parlayed with the Cody Brundage 2.5. It's -176, but those are two pieces that I very much like a lot. Let's keep it rolling. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, Wellington Turman, Jared Gooden. This will be right in the heat of battle of Georgia, Alabama. So I will have my full attention laser focused in on this one. Right now, Wellington Turman is your favorite. -192, Jared Gooden coming back at +160. You know, Turman training with the light heavyweight champ up there at Teixeira MMA. But it's, you know, who do you want here? You want the guy that's 3-3 in the UFC or the guy that's 1-4?
It's a tough.
Both coming off losses.
I mean, I would want Turman in general. It seems more likely, but you know, in Jared Gooden's defense, you know, that loss that he's coming off of, it's to Carlson Harris. And you might think, why does that matter? Well, because you know who else Carlton Harris beat?
Impa Kasanganay.
That's right. Impa Kasanganay. Current PFL champion. So, you know, I mean, you're losing to the guy who beat the guy. That's just no shame in that loss. So I think Turman's going to win this fight. I think he's not performed as good of a fighter as he is, but I wouldn't trust him. I would not trust this bet, so.
It's good to have the Night Train back in the promotion, man. It's good to have him back.
We needed it.
You know who Jared Gooden also lost to? Not only Carlston Harris.
Shavkat? Is that right?
Impa Kasanganay.
Oh, did he? Oh. Oh, yeah. Wow.
His last
okay.
two losses are Carlston Harris and Impa Kasanganay.
I mean, the two guys, PFL champion and the guy who, you know, beat the PFL champion.
Man, I know everyone was saying, like, man, he got cut from the UFC, talking about Impa Kasanganay. He got cut from the UFC in December of 2021. I mean, this guy was fighting in ex-MMA 5 Southern Heat a year ago.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Like, he really came out of the mud. I mean, he was losing split decisions at Eagle FC in the year 2022.
Look, ex-MMA is a lot of big names are out there. You know who headlined that ex-MMA 5 card?
Will Brooks and Luis Pena.
That's right.
Island Bob Ross.
I mean, ex-MMA is a good home for former UFC fighters. It's pretty much exclusively what they cater to.
Oh yeah, Austin Hubbard,
Julian,
let me bang Lane. Yeah.
Look at any of their cards. It's all those.
Yeah.
It's all. Hey, here are a bunch of dudes who maybe were on Tough or fought 5 times in the UFC. I mean, look
Carl
at
Williams.
Any of them.
Carl Williams actually fought on it before going to the UFC. So shout out.
I mean, it's just building prospects. That's what it is.
Shout out. Last but not least, Jamie Lynn Horth is taking on Veronica Hardy. And Jamie Lynn, your favorite, -142. Hardy coming back at +120. Yeah, I'm just flying blind here. The Hardys came in studio for the old MMA hour last week. Great people.
Great people.
The confidence that they were oozing. I mean, the way that they were talking about this fight, about how Veronica Hardy is just this new woman, this new fighter since the layoff. We kind of saw it in the Juliana Miller fight. Does that prove it? Does that stamp it? No, definitely not. But is there evidence that could be the case? I mean, the confidence that they showed while I was sitting there, I was like, yeah, I'll throw a unit on her next week. She fights next week. I'll throw a unit on her. Why not? So, yeah, a little vibes bet.
What'd you get her at?
Plus 130, Veronica Hardy.
Connor, that means we get to end the show in a way befitting our Georgia roots. Oh, oh, oh! Taking Veronica Hardy for similar reasons to you, honestly.
Ted Hardy made a good case, man. He's like, she's going to beat the champ. I'm like, plus 130 against Jamie Lynn Horth? I mean, fighters have never, and their teams have never said anything before a fight that didn't come to fruition.
I know.
Not one time have I heard a fighter say something that didn't end up happening in the fight.
It's never happened. But yeah, I'm on for almost the exact same reasons. You know, when the PFL does their Atlanta stint, obviously Dan Hardy works with PFL. Veronica is there. She just hangs out backstage, like in the media room, because there's nothing else to do and we have food. And got to chat with her a bunch. She's a cool person. I was like, hell yeah, I'll support people I like. Why not?
It's cool.
Like, support your friends.
Not it's always cooler friends, but still, you know, betting on someone like, if you've met them, if they follow you on Twitter or something like that, like it's just always a little bit cooler when that's the case. So yeah, Veronica Hardy, shout out. And that's that. That's UFC Austin. I'm loving that this is a crescendo card, that like it gets better as we go along. It plays perfectly into our plans for Saturday evening.
Plus, there's a good BKFC event this weekend, too.
Fuck, yeah. Mike Perry, Eddie Alvarez. Isn't Mike Perry like a monster favorite?
I have no idea, like, but talk about a banger. I didn't even look at the odds for that. He should be a favorite.
I think he's like minus... I think the last time I saw it was like minus 325.
Let me take a look here. Minus 365.
Minus 365 for old MP.
I'm going to punch it in right here. Plus 290, Eddie Alvarez. Let's
go. Wow, Underground King. Underground plus King.
Plus
290.
We're shooting from the hip fully this week. Plus 290.
That is for the...
He's a scrappy dude.
That's for the violence belt. That is for the violence belt that was created on... the program, the MMA Hour.
I mean,
shout out to David Feldman for doing that. So yeah, it should be a violent affair.
I can guarantee you it's going to be that. I don't make a lot of promises on this show or in general. I promise you that one.
See, I was in old Manchester where Mike Perry served as the backup fighter. Met him. Nice guy. Genuinely nice guy. Could never bet against him now.
It's a shame. Well, then I'll be the lone man backing Eddie Alvarez. It'll be lovely.
All right. Well, that's that. UFC Austin, BKFC. He's on the Underground King. And hopefully it's a great night of fights. I think it's going to be. I'm really looking forward to it.
A wonderful Saturday.
I'm not going to lie to you. There's only one way. It's a wonderful Saturday.
I think that's going to be the way, though.
That's if a hand is being raised, and that hand is holding an SEC championship trophy. The Dogs in action, 4 o'clock. If you're not a college football fan, but you want to just ride with us, it's going to be a tremendous game. Saturday is going to be a tremendous day. Championship Saturday. Great UFC card in front of a crowd. I mean, it just is. We're
Michigan, Iowa? Come on. We all know we're ready for Michigan, Iowa.
Michigan is minus 3,000. Give me a break. I might just bet Iowa out of principle.
One of my best friends went to Iowa, and for the last like 5 years, I've gotten to join along on the ride. I've adopted them as my second team. It's always and forever the Dogs, but you know, we never play each other. The Iowa football experience is just a joy to be a part of.
The team total, their first half team total.
Three.
0.5 and it's plus 100.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
They're literally saying,
it's a pick six, they're not scoring.
I was going to say, they're literally saying that there's no way I was going to score.
I was not going to cross half field.
I wonder what their team total for the whole game is. I mean, yeah, their offense is just
honestly, it probably is like 3.5 is the total over under for it.
It is dreadful. All right. Man, I'm looking at another book now. Mike Perry only minus 285 on this book. Maybe I'll throw him a little parlay ski poo or something to support Platinum. Either way, enjoy the fights on Saturday. Enjoy the football if you partake. Next week, we're back with just, you know, we're honest on this program. It's a stinker, folks, and it's a 10 p.m. main card start.
That's the toughest kind of stinker.
I mean, you're going to put a fucking stinker and you're going to start it at 10 p.m. Like, give me a break. Like, it'd be way cooler if it was in Shanghai and it was at 4 a.m.
Yeah, remember when that was the
plan? I would like it more if it was in Shanghai and it was at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Plus, it's 4 a.m. Saturday morning. I mean, fuck no. I'm napping by 10 and I already got all my bets done and fights in. Either way, we'll be here to break it down because we're here to break down every single card the UFC puts on. But the week after that, UFC 296, stacked to the gills. Every single fight on the main card. Every fight on the main card is a banger. Cannot wait for that card. Cannot wait for that card. So we'll save our energy next week. It'll be easy. Maybe 30 minutes in and out. But then 296, it's going to be a blowout. Cannot wait for that card. See you next week. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. Love y'all.
Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.